If the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us another Shabbos Chanukah this year, that means that he wants us to have another opportunity to think about Yosef HaTzadik on Chanukah, and to think about the Parshias which we are learning in the context of still celebrating Chanukah and being Shakua in trying to understand what Chanukah wants from us. So that's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, and let's use it to the fullest if we can. I think one of the common factors between the Yosef story and Chanukah is the centrality of the concept of beauty. Pasuk tells us, "Vayhi Yosef yafei toya v'yafei mare," and that seems to be an important part of the story. How it's important, we'll soon see. But it seems to be an important part of the story. And of course, on Chanukah, we also have the Inyan of Hidur, the Mahadrin min Mahadrin. There is something which tells us something about the concept of beauty on Chanukah. Actually, of course, it's not so problematic to understand why Chanukah should be that, because the Greeks, of course, with their statuary and with their poetry and with their philosophy, they were people, Yaft Elokim Leyofes, that's the Yofi of Yovan, that Yovan was a bilem over the experience of beauty. So it's not a pele that the Rabban Shem should put the beauty which we consider beauty to be opposite the beauty which Yovan saw as being beautiful. So, but the fact, sof kol sof, is that beauty seems to play a role in both the stories, the story of Chanukah and the story of Yosef HaTzadik. Let's start a little bit to be ma'ayin in the beauty of Yosef HaTzadik. Interesting is the context in which the Torah tells us about that. It tells it to us about in the context of Yosef having been placed in charge of Potiphar's house. So the last posuk which describes that is in Perek Lamates, posuk Vov, Vayazov kol asher lo biyad Yosef, that Potiphar trusted Yosef completely, and he left everything in Yosef's hands. Ve'lo yoda itoy me'umo, kiyem alechem asher hu ochel, Vayhi Yosef yefei toya v'yefei mare. That's how it was. Vayhi Yosef yefei toya v'yefei mare. Then the posuk goes on, Vayhi acha hadvorim ho'ele, v'tiso eishas adonov es eineo el Yosef, v'tay meshich vo'imi. So, what's the smichus ha'pashis over here? So the Ramban writes, Vayhi Yosef yefei toya v'yefei mare, hiske ze bekan, loyme, ki bavur yofyoi nosa eishas adonov eilov es eineo. It says it over here to tell us that it was his beauty, it was yefei toya v'yefei mare, and that is why she wanted to be mezana with him, and she comes and she says, shichvo imi. But the truth is that that requires a little eon, because then it doesn't really belong in the posuk in which it is. Let's see again. Posuk Vov says, Vayazov kol asher lo biyad Yosef, v'lo yoda ito me'umo kiyem alechem asher hu ochel. Vayhi Yosef yifei toya v'yifei mare, same posuk. Then, Vayhi achar dvorim o'eli v'tisai, why doesn't it say it in the next posuk? This posuk should end, Vayazov kol asher lo biyad Yosef, v'lo yoda ito me'umo kiyem alechem asher hu ochel, sof posuk. Then, Vayhi Yosef yifei toya v'yifei mare, v'tisai shesadonov v'zeneo el Yosef. So, the placement of Vayhi Yosef Yefei Toya Yefei Mare seems to place it into the earlier posuk rather than into the later posuk. Also, the story of the Eishes Potiphar starts with Vayhi Acha HaDvarim HaEle. What's that got to do with anything? Like, why is that? I guess you could say because she wouldn't have wanted to be mezane with a lowly servant, but now that he's a manager, maybe she is. She does want to be mezane with him. I have a feeling that there's something else going on over here. In the Indian of beauty, what is it? What is beauty? So in the Rav Shmuel Lewis, there's an interesting little passage over here. Yofe, yud pei hei, is of course to be beautiful. Yefei toya v'yefei mare. So it's yud pei hei. Hei belongs to the gutturals, to the gronios. And you know that Hish's shitta is that the various letters that belong to these groups are interchangeable. So you have yud pei hei, meaning beauty. You have yud pei ches, nofach, meaning to blow into something, v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and then you have yud pei ayin, meaning to shine, kel nekomas hofia, yud pei ayin. So it seems from this family that it's the way that other people are impressed by it. I breathe into you, I shine upon you, and my beauty hits you. You are impressed by my beauty. So the Torah looks at beauty not as an inherent quality of the object or of the person, but the way that other people experience it. So that is what beauty is. Now, what exactly is beauty? Now, that's a whole branch of philosophy, aesthetics, and millions of words and books have been written about it. But just a simple observation. That is that, for example, you stand and you see a mountain. Most of us experience mountains. When we see a mountain, we look. It's beautiful. It's something which impresses us. Like somebody says, the Yofe. Yeah? Wow, this is really something. Now, you can have a slag heap of a garbage dump. Which is just as high, and nobody ever said that a slag heap. Slag heap is where they keep the earth, which they take out from the coal mines, and they just dump it there. So nobody's ever seen those things as beautiful. So it's not the size that is beautiful, but certainly the size contributes to the beauty. So what is it? So the Talmud says, you seek Seder, that the beauty of great things, of vast things. You look in the sky and you see there's billions of stars. Of course, we don't see billions, but you see a snowstorm coming down heavy, and it's beautiful. And you see a huge meadow, a forest. We enjoy seeing those grand visions, but only if they're alive. We like living things. Yeah, dead is not nice. The garbage dump is a place of death. The slag heap is a place of death. Size by itself means nothing. But a lot of life happening together in unison, that is something that impresses us with beauty. I think that the Postig over here, Vayazav Kola Shalobi Yad Yosef, Velo Yoda Ito Me'umo, Kiyim Alechem Ashehu Ochel, Vayhi Yosef Yifei Toya Yifei Mare, that belongs together. Yosef became Yifei Toya Yifei Mare when he stopped being a lowly servant and he became the manager. So now he was suddenly, he was animated. He was engaged. He was enthusiastic. He must have understood that this was a step in the fulfillment of the dreams. When he was sold as a slave into Mitzrayim and he was agonized at the bottom of the totem pole, he must have asked himself, what's happening to my dream? Mishtachavim la'avlumosi, what happened to that? So suddenly he sees stage one. Wow, I started off as a little Eved and here I am the manager of the Rockefeller of Mitzrayim. He must have intuited, even if he didn't know prophetically what was going to happen, he must have intuited that this was leading somewhere, that this was the first step to an ultimate kingship, which would be a kiyum of the chaloimas. And Mimele, suddenly, from being depressed and being disappointed and looking down on himself, I'm sitting over here, in Mitzrayim, away from my father, away from my mishpacha, with nothing, no future, no anything, and suddenly such an enormous step happens in his life. So suddenly that is animates him, and that animation brings about beauty. We all know that many people have gedolim pictures on their walls. Why are they beautiful? Because they're alive. That's the beauty, because Yerushalayim, Beis Hamikdash, that's the place of Chayim. That's what the Ramban teaches us over there by the Be'eros of Yitzhak, the Be'er Ma'im Chaim, those are the Meramis to the Beis HaMikdash. That's where life flows from. That's where energy flows from. That is Kedusha, and that is beauty. So the Pshat is like this. ויעזב כל אשר לא ביד יוסף ולא יודע איתו מאומו כי אם הלחם אשר הוא אוכל והיא יוסף יפה תויה ויפה מרה. He turned into a beautiful person. So, how does the beauty affect the people around you? Depends who you are. If Ben Toyo would have been around, and he would have had nowadays everybody has the telephones with the camera, he would have taken a picture of Yosef and he would have put it up on the wall. Go on the tzaddik, a kodosh, and he saw the beauty of Yefei Toyo, Yefei Mare. He sees the beautiful life churning inside him. His kulay chayim, his kulay energy, his kulay seriousness, his kulay what an autumn god is. What did the Eishes Potiphar say? Shichva imi. That's how she experienced it. She experienced, and that's why it says, Reb Shlomo Shmuel says, "Vayi achar devarim ha'ele." It wasn't just the form of his features; it was the mastery. The whole, when she saw how his life developed, here was this kid, a 17-year-old kid, who was sold, and her husband bought him. She probably yelled at her husband, "We can't afford it, or why do we need another servant in the house?" And now suddenly he's here, and she watched his progress, and she saw that from abject servitude, he suddenly became a big manager. So she saw there's something going on with this guy. Wow! So vayi achad vorim ha'ele vatiso enevach. What did she see? She saw shechva emi. That is what she saw. And Yosef, hein lo yoda hein adoni lo yoda iti ma baboyas, is not being meshiv like the Indian. She says, "Look, you're a beautiful person. I want to be mezane with you." And he says, "I have a responsibility." When you're talking about znus, who's talking about responsibilities to your master? The Talmud says he's living on a different plane. And this led to the pisroin of the chaloimas. This led to the be able to be poisach chaloimas. What's it got to do with being poisach chaloimas? So there's a very interesting psodik in Tzidkus HaTzadik. So he talks about, now I'm going to read it to you. I won't claim that I understand everything. I don't. Tzadik is a Yid who talks about the pnimius of Torah, and what do I know about that? But at least the words do mean something to me, and we can sort of read them together and listen together and see what it says over here. He says, "V'chein ha'dimyonos shel hevel." All of us think about a lot of stupid thoughts. "Heim moichin de katnusai." That's the brain working in smallness. Ve'etzel b'nei Yisroel, but by Yidden, shekol echad yesh lo shoyresh b'toyro, t'chsiv bo emes, ve'eino dimyon, hare ha'moichin de gadlus, gonus toich moichin de katnus. Says that even when we're stupidly thinking, when we have stupid thoughts, bad thoughts, inappropriate thoughts, which is the katnus, but in that somewhere a yid is never completely menutik from Torah. Rak mikol mokom mipnei hakatnus hamesavavoy I efshar beloy dover botel. It's not clear, even if we sense that there's something serious there, but it's not clear to us because it's so messed up with all the folly. Avol yesh gam bar, but there's also grain there. There's also important grain. V'hameven al zeh ledaas ha-toichiyos shebechol ha-dimyonos. Who is the person who can sort of zero in to the toichen, to the bar, to the grain that is there? Who is the person who can do that? Who mishenoki mitavos. He's somebody who has cleansed himself from physical desires. Ki Yosef betavas noshem. V'doniel betavas achila. Daniel didn't eat any questionable kashrus when he was in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. So Yosef and Daniel, who are the two poistrim of Chaloimas in Tanakh, they are the ones who had conquered their Tava. Yosef the Tava's Noshem and Daniel the Tava's Achila. Heim hoyu poistri Chaloimas. The Shoyresh kol hirhure batola heim betavas. That's the main thing that we think about, that's that which stimulates us, is Tava. Shibozeh ha'lev choshek lehare, umishu shokua b'dimyon, Because he's caught up with the stupidities of which are there. And the stupidities are so attractive and so central, so he can't figure out what is the real Teuchen. Rak mi she'eino shokur, hu yuchal levare ha'toiv min hora. And so on. Maruti Gezach says, and that is why Yosef and Daniel were the Paisre Chaloimais. So now comes out that the Seder of the Parshias is taka very, very interesting. That we have Yosef, the Yafei Toya of Yafei Mare, full of life, full of beauty. What did the Eishes Potiphar say? Shechvo emi. What was the emes? Tell me what the Pisron is, and I'll tell you what the Pisron is. I'll be able to zero in to the emes, which is wrapped in all the shtiyot. We can imagine that in the Sahar Oifem and the Sahar Mashkem must have been plenty dvorim betalim in their dreams also. Stimulated by Taiva and by whatever it is that they were Shakua in. But Yosef was able to zero in to the emes, which animated that dream. And that is the gedder of Yosef's involvement with dreams. And that's why Yosef's dreams, the dreams which he originally told the brothers, were certainly not me'uruf with all these dvorim betalim. And that is why he saw clearly, he saw an emes. And when you're a Bailim on Emes, you want to tell it to your brothers, you want to tell it to your father. It's a different sugya, why this dream and not that dream, but that is something, you're the master of an Emes. We're not going to tell our dreams to people, don't, if we have some sechel, because our dvorim betalim, that's something you have to go and share with people. But where the thing is kulay emes, because by Yosef there was no taruvas, or by Daniel, there was no taruvas of those dvorim betalim. So Mimele, they see emes. That emes touches on the vua. This is something which this is the Torah which is inherent, which inheres in me. It's a Moyer de Gezach. And that is what happened with Yosef. And that's Meshune Dikim insight in what's happening in these Parshiyos. Does beauty have a function in our lives? To what extent is beauty a chelek of our Jewish experience? We're Yidden, and we try to do what the Rabban Shalom wants us to do. To what extent is beauty a part of our lives, Jewishly speaking? Does it have a function? Now, the truth is, I think it does. And the emes is that when we think about Maaseh Bereishis, so beauty has a very, very important role to play there, and very, very early on in the Bria, we have on the third day of the Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, the first 3 days, I think, were involved in creating the world, the earth, the universe, in such a way that we should be able to live in it. That we should be able to use it. You have to have oil for the earth to function. Then you have the Rokia B'soich HaMayim, the Havdil, that there's an upper world and there's a lower world. Then there's Yikovu HaMayim, that the water has to recede, it mustn't cover the whole globe, it has to recede into the seabeds. That takes us to the middle of the third day. Now we've got an earth which is livable, which is inhabitable, that's what we have. So what happens on Tuesday afternoon, after the Rokia has been hardened, and so on? Oh, what happens? Vayom Elokim, tatshe ha'oretz deshe, esev mazriya zera. This is the first step in peopling the earth. The first thing that the Ribbono Shel Olam does, now I've got my earth ready, now I can start filling it. What's the first thing? Vegetation. And how does he fill it? Vayom Elokim, tatshe ha'oretz deshe, esev mazriya zera. Now what does that mean? So you have this famous Rashi over here. Loi deshe loshon eser, veloi eser loshon deshe. What is Rashi bavoning? Rashi is bavoning that we shouldn't read this posuk as we would be inclined to read it. Vayom Elokim tatshe oretz deshe, and you know what deshe is. Esef mazriya zera. It let the earth produce deshe, which is esef mazriya zera. That would mean, to use the grammatical term, that esef mazriya zera would be in apposition to tatshe oretz deshe. My friend Joe. Joe is in apposition to my friend. My friend, who is he? Joe. Tatshe oretz deshe, what is it? Esef mazriya zera. So Rashi, no, that's not the pshat. Why is it not the pshat? Loi deshe loshen esef, veloi esef loshen deshe. Then Rashi goes on, veloi hoyo loshen hamikro loyma ta'asif ha'oretz. Now, whether that is the correct gisa in Rashi, I don't know. It's very, very hard. The Mefoshim of Rashi are very, very, find it difficult to touch on what Rashi is saying over here. There are Rashi manuscripts which leave out the word veloi, and that way it makes a lot more sense. Let's read it without the loy. V'hoyo loshen ha-mikro loyma ta'aziv ha-oretz. If Esef mazriya zera would have been in apposition to tatshe oretz deshe, it would have just have explained what is tatshe oretz deshe. If that would have been the pshat, so then it wouldn't have needed to say tatshe oretz deshe altogether. It could just have made a verb out of Esef, ta'aziv ha-oretz, Esef mazriya zera. Let the earth produce these grasses. If it would just be in apposition to deshe. But it's not, because they mean two different things. What do they mean? Ve'ein loshon limdabe loyma deshen ployne, sheloshon deshe hu levishas ha-oretz kishehi mismala'as bedeshoim, tashe oretz tismale v'tiskase levush asabim. Wow. So Rashi is saying like this, because deshe, that means greenery. It doesn't mean the individual grasses. It doesn't mean the individual grasses. What the Pasuk is saying is, I want a green earth. Nowadays when there's so much hakpada on green, because ecology, that's much what the Torah says. I want a green earth. Let it be green. Now, how am I going to bring that about? I'm going to put in Esef mazriya zera, and that will affect and therefore produce this green earth. So Esef mazriya zera is not a definition of what deshe means, because deshe means something completely different. So what does deshe mean? Deshe means a levush. Rashi stresses that loshon twice. Sheloshon deshe hu levisha sa'oretz kishehim is malas bidrishoim. Tismale v'tiskase levush asabim. I want a green earth. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to bring that about. You know I'm going to bring it about? Esef mazriya zera. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Why does the Rebbe Nishan want a green earth? Let him just say, I want grass, so I plant grass. What's enough committed? Why is it a levush, a garment? I think that there's no other pshat in this pasuk other than to learn, I want a beautiful earth. I want when somebody gets up in the morning, he looks out of his window, he sees greenery, he sees forests, he sees meadows, he sees flowers, he sees trees, he sees the whole of nature spread out at his feet. That's what I want. And I'm going to do that by making Esef mazriya zera and Eitzpuri Oisepri and so on. So the very first thing with which the Ribbono Shel Olam peopled the earth, the very first thing with which he peopled the earth is beauty. Tatshei Horetz. I want the earth to be green. I want it to be beautiful. There are midrashim like that. The Ribbono Shel Olam took Adam HaRishon by the hand, and he says, look, I took him around Gan Eden, and he says, look how beautiful, look, I gave you such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful earth. 10 daitcho that you shouldn't be machre of it. So the very first thing with which the Ribbono Shel Olam peopled the earth is with something that's beautiful. And the emes is, if we think about it, all the experiences that we have is always like that. I don't know whether all of them, but in very many situations. You take a walk on the beach. So it's beautiful, the beach. You know, you have the sea, and a beach is a beautiful place. So what do we enjoy? The beach. Not the individual grains of sand. But the beach is made up of billions of grains of sand. Just like the greenery of the world is made up of billions of different grasses. We talked before about the snowstorm. So you see the snowstorm, you see thick, beautiful, white flakes coming down. What is that made up of? Each flake has its own beautiful form. Each one is unique. What we have over here, the truth is, we see people and we love them and we experience them. And what are they? They're also a bunch of whatever it is, the genes and the atoms, whatever it is that's flicking around inside us. We have in our experiences of the physical world, we experience a beauty in the thing in aggregate. That means you see it, a lot of it together. One piece of grass is nothing much, but you see an entire meadow. You see a hill covered with trees. That's beautiful. But the Pasuk is very, very interesting. You see, what does the Pasuk say? It says, Tashe Oretz Deshe, Esef Mazriya Zera, that the grass, which in aggregate is going to make up the Deshe, it should be a grass that carries Zera inside it. It can propagate itself. That grass will produce other grasses. Now, the truth is that that is true by every living thing. When the animals are created, animals also have seed inside themselves so that they should be able to have doiros. Human beings also propagate themselves and have children. So why does the Torah stress it over here by the Esef? The Esef Mazriya Zera. Eitz Peri Oisef Peri. Why stress it over here? The Torah says, I haven't seen this in a Sefer, but I think that the answer to that is that the reason why the Torah stresses it here, because the individual grass is so insignificant. The grasses are gone, it's the little grass, what is it? So the Torah tells us, you should know, that that beautiful deshe, that greenery, is made up of blades of grass, each one of which can produce the entire greenery, b'koyach. That means that the individual doesn't become bottle in the aggregate. That's really what the Pasuk says. Moine mispala kachovim, l'kulom shemos yikra. I looked up how many stars there are in the Milky Way. It's on my encyclopedia. I don't know who counted them. But they say that in the Milky Way, which is a bitsy little galaxy, which is only one among billions. So they say that there are between 200 billion and 400 billion stars. I mean, give a little, take a little, but it's a lot of stars. And the chulam shemas yikra, and not only in the Milky Way. That means like this, that we said before that when we see something big, a huge mountain, the sea, the snowstorm, the beach, the meadow, what is the beauty? The beauty is that it's an aggregate of living things, each one as choshev as the whole. That's a moyer de gezach. Each one has zoreya zera, which had to be stressed here, but not by the animals and not by the humans. So the beauty consists of an aggregate made up of independent units, which each one in themselves is infinitely choshev and is living and is pulsating, and that is beauty. It's mayur digazach. So it sounds a little bit like I lost my way. We were talking about Mikates and we ended up in Bereshis, and what about Chanukah? The truth is that I have a feeling, I don't know whether it's true or not, but the machlokes of Beshama and Beshillel, whether you start with one and work up to eight, or you start with eight and work down to one, be'emes, in the Chanukah Dikasugyum, I think the following. I'll tell you what I think. If you think it's interesting, so by all means, think about it. If you don't like it, please ignore it. It's just my own thought. I didn't see it anywhere. The emphasis is that this Yesod, that each Esav has in itself infinity, it's Mazriya Zera, it can produce, give it a little time, and it'll produce the whole meadow, each little blade of grass. That means that that's how the Ribbono Shel Olam, the first thing that he created on the third day to fill the earth, was the combination of aggregate with individual. But with what individual? With the individual who carries in himself the koyach of the whole. That is really what's going on with Rabim Biyad Ma'atim, Kiborim Biyad Chaloshim. The word is that if each individual carries in himself the potential of infinity, because he's Mazriya Zera, that is the side that the Ma'atim can beat the Rabim. Because the Ma'atim, so you had six blades of grass, you had Matisyo and his sons. But each one of them, because they were plugged into Kedusha, they were plugged into the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they knew what had to be done. So the seed within them is churning around, producing. And Mimele, they have the koyach of the Rabbim. That is the koyach of a single jug of shemen to be able to burn for 8 days. In other words, all of this is a reflection of what the Ribbono Shel Olam built in to the Bria on the very first occasion which he had to make the Bria people the earth. What did he do? A combination of Deshe and Esef. It's Moir in the world, Moir in the world. That means that in each grass you have the potential Deshe. And that's the beauty of the Deshe. That it takes all these little grasses, each one of them a potential Deshe, and creates a real Deshe out of them, and that is the beauty, because it's alive. And I think that that is what's happening on Chanukah. And that's why it's Rabim Biyad Ma'atim. The Ma'atim can deal with the Rabim. Because the Ma'atim have the Rabim in themselves potentially, and much, much more than that Rabim has. Much, much more than that Rabim has. It's the mountain fighting the slag heap, the garbage dump. And the smaller mountain can handle a larger garbage dump. Because the garbage dump is dead. That's what's going on. So what I think is that it could be that the shoyrish of the machloikas of Hashem and Beis Hillel, whether Ms. Martin Baruchin or whether we go upwards, maybe you can hear the beauty of an aggregate made up of potentials, Rotem. Where is the Iker beauty? Is the Iker beauty when they're all together? Or is the Iker beauty in the potential of the one? I think that that fits into the Gemara. See, in the second that simply says it. But even in the second, what's the Porei Achag? Porei Achag doesn't mean, I don't think, that Porei Achag say that we should be mismatim v'holchim with an Eres Chanukah. What's the connection with Porei Achag? I guess there are connections, but if there are, I don't know them. But I think that Porei Achag, Kneged Porei Achag means you see that there are cheshbonos which can conquer Baalim Bakoidesh. Beis Hillel says Baalim Bakoidesh. So Beis Shammai says, well, not always. Yeah, when we want to be memayed the koyches of the Ummus HaOlam, we memayed the Purim. If here over here we see the Iker beauty in the one, in other words, what I'm timing is that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel feel that as we go through Chanukah, through the 8 days of Chanukah, so we're getting closer and closer and closer to an ideal. The question is, what is the ideal? So Beis Hillel sees the ideal in the aggregate. All the 8 neiros burning together, that's beautiful. And Beis Shammai says, I see it in the potential. Verkehrt. The fact that in the one neir you have the potential of all of them, that by me is the Iker beauty. So that is the kesha over here, which we were looking for between Chanukah and Yosef HaTzadik, the idea of beauty. What makes beauty? What makes beauty? Fei Neuf, Mesois Kol HaOretz, HaTzion, Yakos HaTzofen, Kiryas Melech Rav. Tomorrow the Gezach. And should be zoche to carry some of the lessons of Chanukah along with us when we come to the end of the Yom Tov, and should help us to try and become Erech HaYim.